thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting that our broadcast service today will be a blessing to you.
Still press along, for I made the right change. I'll not go astray, for Christ is now leading me safe on my way.
And I'm glad I served one.
I'm glad I served one
that never changes.
That never changes, for He is the way. The truth and the life.
Oh, He washed my soul.
Oh, He washed my soul
from sin that stained it.
From sin that stained it. Now I'm headed for heaven.
I'm headed for heaven
and eternal life. Some people may change as they go along, not thinking of Christ and living so wrong. Oh, may they stop now and call on His name. For Christ never changes, He's always the same.
I'm glad I served one.
I'm glad I served one that never changes. For He is the way.
For He is the way,
the truth and the life.
Oh, He washed my soul.
Oh, He washed my soul
from sin that stained it.
From sin that stained it. Now I'm headed for heaven.
I'm headed for heaven
and eternal life.
And I'm glad I served one.
I'm glad I served one
that never changes.
That never changes, for He is the way.
For He is the way,
the truth and the life.
Oh, He washed my soul.
Oh, He washed my soul.
From sin that stained it,
now I'm headed for heaven.
I'm headed for heaven
and eternal life.
Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful that we know we are serving one who never changes. I am the Lord, I change not. And we're so thankful today for the privilege we have of serving Thee, and we thank You for the privilege of presenting this broadcast service to this precious congregation today. Though unseen to us, they are not unseen to Thee. And we're asking Thy blessings upon each and every one. You know, those who might be outside the fold of God, we pray the Holy Spirit would work with hearts and deal with souls. You know, those that may be passing through deep waters, we pray that You'll be with them, strengthen them, encourage the saints that they might press the battle on. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is some
subject for today's broadcast, A God Who Cares. And our text of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7, 8, and 9. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. God is a God of love who cares for each one of us and has given us a wonderful invitation and some sound instruction in our text. And the first word I would call your attention to is casting. We have many cares as we journey through life, but we do not have to bear our cares alone. We are living in a perplexing world today, and there's trouble on every hand. Throughout the world, there is so much trouble, heartache and misery and woe. But there is a God in heaven, as Daniel said, and He has instructed us or offered us the opportunity of casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Casting instructs us to put them on the Lord with the assurance that He cares for us. What a consoling thought. He cares for us. Does He care? Oh, yes, He cares. So one hymn writer said, and we know that He does. The Scriptures teach us that Jesus Christ is our High Priest and that He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We read in the Scriptures where Jesus went one time, and there was a multitude of people, and the Bible says that He looked upon them, and He had compassion upon them, and He healed their sick. So we know that we have a God in heaven who loves us, and He has shown His love by giving His only begotten Son, but not only by giving His only begotten Son, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness nor even a shadow of turning. And so God has shown His care for us in so many ways. The psalmist said in the 103rd Psalm, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, who renews thy strength as the eagles. So we are told not to forget all of His benefits. Therefore, we know that we have a God who cares. Whatever things concern a follower of God, whether they be spiritual or temporal, or whether in themselves great or small, God concerns Himself with them. Yes, God concerns Himself with those things which concern us. He that knows that God cares for him need have no anxious cares about himself. So Adam Clark said, Casting thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So we read in Psalm 55 and 22. Again, let me quote that. Whatever things concern a follower of God, whether they be spiritual or temporal, or whether in themselves, great or small, God concerns Himself with them. He that knows that God cares for him need have no anxious cares about himself. Again, that's a quote from Adam Clark. Now, the Bible teaches us that we are not to worry or be fretful about anything, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And when it says be careful for nothing, it's not talking about being reckless. It's talking about not worrying, not fretting, because we have the privilege of casting our cares upon the Lord. Again, Psalm 55 and 22 tells us, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, we carry burdens that we really don't have to carry at times. Oh, yes, I know. There are burdens that we need to carry. There are concerns that we have. But we don't have to worry and fret because we have burdens and concerns. Because we have a God who's concerned also. A God who is caring for us, watching over us. His eyes are over the righteous. His ears are open under their prayers. And we are told, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now we go on in our text today. In verse 8, we read, be sober. Knowing the Lord cares for us does not mean that we can be careless. We are to face the realities of life seriously. Yes, we are to face the realities of life seriously. And we are also told, be vigilant, keep awake, be on your guard, watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we read in Matthew 26 and 41. So we are to be sober, we are to be vigilant, we are to be watchful, we are to be prayerful, and we have a very active, subtle enemy to contend with. Yes, we have a very subtle enemy to contend with. He walks about. He has access to everywhere we go, everything we do, in the home, on the job, even in the worship service. The devil has access to come to us, to trouble us, and to try us. Why is it that way? Because the Lord said he would have a tried people. And not only because of that, but because of the very nature and character of that wicked one that we call the devil or Satan. The scripture said, Jesus said, as a matter of fact, he is a liar and the father of it. And Jesus also said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So this is this wicked one that we are opposed by and must oppose him. He is a liar. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's a murderer. He's a destroyer. Even a supposed angel of light. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light to deceive the very elect if possible. We remember reading in the book of Job how Satan came among God's people, and the Lord asked him, where have you been? Oh, I've been up and down and going around. Yes, he was going around doing all the evil and all the ungodly things that he could. And God said to him, have you looked at man? Have you looked at my faithful servant Job? Have you considered him? Oh, yes. But you've done him so much good, and you've blessed him in so many ways. You take away those things from him, and you'll see what happens. He'll curse you. And the Lord said, no, I'm not going to, but I give you permission to. And there the old devil brought the storms, wrecked the house, and the enemies came and stole his cattle and so on and so forth. Finally, even his children were slain by what we would today call a tornado. And yet, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Job's attitude was. No, Satan came around again, and God said, have you looked at, have you beheld my faithful servant Job? Oh, yeah. But you just let me touch him. And the man will give anything, as it were, to save his own skin. So let me touch him. Or you touch him, and God said, no, I won't, but I give you permission to. But one thing, you cannot take his life. And he was afflicted from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He had boils, and they were very painful. And he had three men that came. I don't know why the Bible calls them comforters, for they were not comforters. They were accusers. They came and they sat there for 7 days, never said a word. And finally they began to accuse Job and try to make him believe that he was in that state because he was a sinner, which was not so. But Job, even his wife, said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And he said, "You speak like one of the foolish women." Finally, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Yes, even in that, God cared. God was watching over Job. And we may rest assured that regardless of what our trials or our tests may be, or what our temptations may be, we still have one who cares for us. Now, a roaring lion goes about seeking whom he may devour because he wants to discourage you, turn you aside, turn you away from God, cause you to accuse God because of the trial or the test. Adam Clark said in regard to this thought of a roaring lion, he says, Satan tempts under three forms. Number one, the subtle serpent, to beguile our senses, pervert our judgment, and enhance our imagination, enchant our imaginations. Number two, as an angel of light, to deceive us with false views of spiritual things, refinements in religion. And I'm assuming that Clark means by that that the false religions, compromise and the such, would also try us. Going on with Clark's quote, and presumption on the providence and grace of God. Number three, as a roaring lion, to bear us down and destroy us by violent opposition and persecution and death. And that's the end of the quote from Adam Clark on regard to the thought of a roaring lion. Now, the scripture says here, Peter says, that he's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He has almost a whole world under his dominion and control. In fact, the Apostle John said, the whole world lies in wickedness, and Satan has virtually the whole world under his dominion and control, and there are billions of people doing his bidding and his will. But thank God there are some children of God, there are some saints, there are some Christians in the world, and Satan is very angry at them, and he's determined to do all he can to destroy them and to get them to turn aside and go back into the evil and the ungodly things of this world. But we read here in our text of Scripture today that we are to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We are to draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto us. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith. That's the ninth verse of our text today. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. One thing the old devil would like for us to believe is, well, we're the only ones that's going through this particular trial or this test. I remember years ago, my brother Alan and I were traveling, and we got to talking about our trials and so forth, and I mentioned something, and he said, "You?" Because Alan hadn't been saved so very long at that time, and he was surprised to know that I was having the particular type of trial or test that I was speaking of. My Sunday school class one time, one in the class spoke up and said, "Brother Alvin, I'm glad to hear you say that. I didn't know." I said, "Now, I don't know why you find it so hard to realize and to know that I'm a human being just like you are." You know, if anything, the devil would attack preachers harder than he would anybody else. Because many times, if the devil can get a pastor to fail, the congregation will fail with him. So this old wicked spirit we call the devil is walking about seeking whom he may devour, and we are told to resist him steadfast in the faith. And if we will resist him steadfast in the faith, he will flee from us and we will be able to overcome. Jesus gives us an example. I refer to this quite often in Matthew chapter 4. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says he was hungry. And Satan came to him and tried to get him to turn stones into bread. Jesus could have made the finest bread that was ever made out of those stones if he had wanted to. But he was not going to submit to Satan. He was not going to do anything to please the devil. And so he used the scriptures on him. And that's an example for us, beloved. When old Satan comes around with his temptations, the trials and tests, we need to use the word of God on him. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then Satan took him up on the pinnacle of the temple and tempted him to jump down in the sight of people so that they could see how miraculously. Well, he even quoted a scripture to him. He quoted from the psalm about, "He shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Yes, the devil knows the scriptures better than we know. The only thing is, he puts the wrong interpretation on them, and he would try to get us to use them wrong. But Jesus Christ came back with the correct scripture and the correct meaning of it. And he said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God," and we are not to tempt him either. And then Satan takes him up on an exceedingly high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of earth. And he said, "If you will bow down now and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms." Who was he talking to? He was talking to the one who had made all these kingdoms. And he had the audacity to say to him, "If you'll worship me, fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms." Beloved, that's exactly what Satan is endeavoring to get every one of us to do. Fall down and worship him. Yes, he wants worship. And I've said before, and I'll say again on this broadcast, these who take God's name in vain and cursing and swearing, they are praising the devil by the language that they are using. Yes, they are praising the devil. He delights in that kind of a thing because he wants to destroy us and he wants us to fall down and worship him. But Jesus came back with the scripture, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only." Yes, we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we are to worship and serve him. As he told Old Testament Israel, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All the gods of the nations are but idols." But the true and the living God is the one I'm talking about today, who cares for us and who will give us power and victory over that wicked one, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. So we read in James chapter 4 verses 7 and 8. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So Peter said in 1 Peter 5, 10 and 11, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while." Now, the Lord didn't tell us we wouldn't be tempted. He didn't tell us we wouldn't be tried. But he did tell us that he would give us power over all the power of the enemy, and that he would never leave us nor forsake us, that he would give us the grace that we need to face the trials and the tests and to live a victorious life. Thank God we have one who cares for us. Father, we do thank you today for your precious word and for your precious promises. And we're thankful for the privilege of sharing today's broadcast with this precious people. We trust the Holy Spirit has accompanied it and made it a blessing to souls. For this we desire and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another broadcast with you. We trust that our program has been a blessing, and I'd like to encourage you to let us know. Our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. However you may communicate with us, it would be an encouragement to us if you would write and let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. We also invite you to be with us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6. That's Eastern Time, and they are broadcast live over the Internet, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin and Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you is our sincere prayer.
In a world filled with pleasure, we're tempted and tried.
Thank you.